Joining me now on the phone is Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from Schaumburg, from the 8th Congressional District. He's a member of the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick.
You know, it seems like these days there's never a shortage of things to talk about going on in Washington. We've got the issue of the special counsel and what's going on at the Department of Justice. But before that we begin, I wanted to ask you about the decision Friday for the joint allied airstrikes on Syria. And everybody understands the great trauma and terror caused by the Assad regime using chemical weapons on his own people. Still the issue of congressional oversight for military action.
Yes, thank you for having me on. Look, Bashar al-Assad is an authoritarian dictator who needs to go, and he has used chemical weapons routinely on his own people. And I support the president working with our allies, such as France and Great Britain, to come up with a multilateral, set of actions with regard to Assad. But the problem is that, I think the president said that his mission was accomplished or mission accomplished, but we don't know what the mission is. Is it to overthrow Assad? Is it to bring about peace and stability with Assad continuing as the leader of Syria? Is it to end the use of chemical weapons? Just a year ago, he launched similar strikes, and Assad continues to use chemical weapons. So what is the end strategy here? And then finally, Congress must have a say in the use of force. I think that he should come to Congress to ask for the authority for any further action, because at the end of the day, our men and women in uniform are doing the best possible job they could ever do in this very challenging situation, but they do put themselves at risk, and the commander-in-chief puts themselves at risk. And so we have to have a say.
Well, and this coming off the fact that it was only days ago that he was talking about wanting to have U.S. military forces out of Syria in a matter of days.
Right. He said he wanted out of Syria, and apparently he told some aides he wanted to get out in 48 hours. And then just a day later or so, we are launching airstrikes in Syria, further, kind of deepening our involvement there. So I think we're kind of lurching right now, Rick, and I think that's really bad, not only for Syria, but also for our men and women in uniform, and therefore Congress, must have a say in this process.
I know you've been seeing some of the reports about former FBI Director James Comey's book and some of the things that have come out in that. I can't say that I necessarily find great new revelations in the material, but it seems to me more of a question, and in fact we had a question from a texter earlier today about would Comey have been better served after Trump had left office to write a book about this kind of thing, and about Comey's credibility in some of the conversations and discussions that he's had.
Right. Clearly, Donald Trump has been paying attention to this book. I think he's tweeted four times in the last hour and a half about Jim Comey. This is what I think. I think that I'm a little concerned about some of the some of the places and subject matter that Jim Comey decided to comment on, because I do think that it undermines his ability to be a witness or testify later in the Mueller probe. I think that right now the Mueller investigation has to be protected, and anything that can be fodder for undermining it would be, it'd be better for that not to happen.
Well, I know that I remember reading this just over the last couple of days about, and I believe it was more involving the Senate Democrats, kind of a directive that if Rosenstein's fired and Mueller is fired, that Democrats hold their powder for a few days to see how things shake out before immediately trying to use the I word.
Well, I think that certainly if Mueller were fired, I think that all heck would break loose. And I'm heartened that a lot of Republicans have made that clear. And I think they've said the same thing about Rosenstein as well, because I think that would amount to some charge of obstruction of justice. I think that overall, right now, I'd like to see some of that legislation go forward with regard to protecting Bob Mueller and bringing some judicial review to the process. Chuck Grassley in the Senate has talked about adding that provision to legislation, must-pass legislation, that is going through the Senate right now. I think if we can act in a bipartisan way with regard to at least protecting Bob Mueller and bringing a little more process, due process to his situation, I think that would be a positive step right now. Well, and give the president some pause.
That sounds like it's more of a bipartisan effort in the Senate than it does in the House, though.
So I think that if something came out of the Senate on what they call must-pass legislation, so as you know, there's a lot of gridlock in Washington, D.C., but there's legislation that both parties feel needs to go forward regardless of the politics. So just as an example, there's something called the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, which basically, you know, allows for our armed forces to get money to do what they have to do. And if someone like Chuck Grassley were to get such a provision attached to that type of must-pass legislation, then it would really force House Republicans to, you know, potentially vote for it.
We're speaking with Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from Schaumburg. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me on the phone is Democratic Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Congressman, I know you've got a legislation that you're working on called the Conflict Act, which would require White House officials to disclose their reasons for recusing themselves from meetings or decisions. Could you just give us a little background on that, please?
Yeah, so on the Oversight Committee, I've been helping with leading an investigation into different people who've had you know, conflicts of interest in the White House, one of them being Jared Kushner. I believe that Mr. Kushner probably has among the greatest conflicts of interest of anybody in the executive branch. He has various financial difficulties, and he has been basically meeting with different people in the White House, ostensibly to talk about official business, but then all of a sudden these same individuals or their companies end up helping his family's business concerns in a significant way. Just as an example, he met with people from Citigroup and also Apollo, the Apollo Financial Group, and together they provided hundreds of millions of dollars in loans to his family's business concerns. So what we are trying to do is, apparently in the White House, from time to time, they do require people to recuse themselves from certain meetings and discussions involving topics that might pertain to their personal business concerns. And what we're saying is, A, we want to know when that happens, and B, we want to know why. What is the nature of the conflict of interest that would lead to these recusals? We just need more transparency with regard to this process so we can hold them accountable.
How likely are we likely to see that legislation advance?
Maybe not in this Congress, Rick. Unfortunately, we have been asking Trey Gowdy and others to pursue some of these investigations with a little more vigor, and we haven't yet seen the desired outcome. Although I did call on Trey Gowdy to help us with Scott Pruitt of the EPA, who has, you know, conflicts of interest left and right, including a chief of staff who apparently had a consulting business on the side for the oil and gas industry, the very people that they are regulating. And he has, you know, pursued this particular issue with Pruitt with a little more energy. But, you know, with regard to the first issue, the Conflict Act, which we introduced, I'm hoping that we can gather a little bit of momentum and maybe in the next Congress it passes.
Is it easier for somebody like Troy Gowdy to kind of take a look at Scott Pruitt just because of the myriad of stories and controversies surrounding him?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's been a lot of attention paid to Pruitt. I don't need to go through all the different things that
I don't think we have time for that.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we have time. And but on the other hand, you know, Kushner deserves a lot of attention as well, and I hope that Mr. Gowdy, Chairman Gowdy, changes the approach there.
I also want to talk to you about the American Workers Act, if you could explain that. I know it's a kind of a tax credit system here.
Yeah, so my passion or focus in this Congress legislatively has been workforce development, workforce training, and career technical education. How do we make sure that, you know, our workers, especially those who don't decide to get a four-year degree, a college degree, get the skills and tools and certifications and credentials to get access to a job? And how do we upgrade the skills of those who already have a job? So I introduced this bill with Senator Warner from Virginia, as well as Joe Crowley from New York, and Congresswoman Sanchez from California, to basically reward medium and small businesses who decide to spend extra going forward on workforce training, basically a 20% tax credit on the additional spend that they decide to make to, you know, basically upgrade their workforce. And that's something we desperately need, because over the past two decades, there's actually been a drop off in the amount of money spent by businesses on the job training. So this is vitally needed for us to, you know, propel forward economically.
Well, and it seems like when it comes to vocational training and, you know, the larger conversation about the community college role in vocational training, that it's normally associated with a large institution.
That's right. And I think that we need to make sure that businesses also have an incentive to do more on the job. I really, you know, without going into too much detail, I'm really hopeful about the efforts in the private sector to engage in what are called learn and earn opportunities. That is, you know, people who are working and at the same time getting additional tools, whether it's at their local community college or otherwise, to basically upgrade their skills and, you know, help businesses at the same time. There are a lot of similar initiatives, but we need to provide additional incentives for especially small and medium-sized businesses to continue with this trend.
Well, we always kind of think of, in fact, we talked about in the last half hour about continuing education for,
yes,
you know, the professions, you know, like law and those kinds of,
yeah,
things. But there's value in that continuing education in all kinds of jobs.
That's right. I think that, you know, as we go forward, especially in this technology revolution that we're in, and we all know about the changes coming forward with regard to automation and the like, we have to make sure that our workers are equipped with the tools to take advantage of those particular trends and that they're not caught flat-footed. And I think that businesses are doing this, but we're not doing enough of it across the board. And in other places like Germany and other countries, this has become routine for them to invest in their workers in this vein. And I'd like to see that happen here.
Congressman, you know, given the departure of Paul Ryan, I know that Republicans, there's a lot of concern privately among Republicans about going into the midterm election. But I have to wonder, you know, on a larger scale, if this isn't kind of reflective of just some of the turmoil in Washington.
I think so. You know, look, Speaker Luke Ryan said the other day that he was retiring to spend more time with his family. And actually, in this particular case, I think there's some truth to it. I think he's sincere about that, especially given his personal story with his father having died when he was a teenager. That being said, I think that the other dimension of this is what you touched upon, which is, I think that he probably sees the likelihood of him serving as the next speaker, going down with each passing day. I think that Democrats are increasingly hopeful about taking the majority back. I think the chances are looking better every day. And then secondly, dealing with President Trump is no walk in the park. I think that it's no, I don't think it's any secret that he and the president don't necessarily see eye to eye on a variety of issues. That being said, I was a little disappointed that he hasn't been more forceful in pushing back on the president with regard to a variety of issues. And he has kind of ceded some of our legislative prerogative in Congress to the president. And so I'm hoping that maybe now that he's somewhat liberated, he'll do that in the remaining months. But let's see.
Well, I mean, I seem to remember, and this was before he was speaker, when he was here at the City Club in Chicago with Congressman Luis Gutierrez talking about the importance of immigration reform.
Right. That's a perfect example, Rick. Paul Ryan should bring a vote on the floor with regard to not only comprehensive immigration reform proposals that have passed the Senate in past Congresses, but also with regard to Dreamers. I mean, there's a clear majority in the House for finding a path for our Dreamers and DACA recipients who are right now in limbo, but he won't bring it to the floor unless the president endorses it. And we all know that the president has been going back and forth and, in his support of any given proposal, whether it's bipartisan or not. And so I think the speaker hopefully will reconsider on some of these issues because it's the right thing to do, and it also helps our economy.
Now, you say you hope it's a liberating force. Do you actually believe it will be?
I don't know because, I don't know the internal politics in the House Republican Conference. On the one hand, I guess it's a liberating force for him to announce his retirement and then perhaps go and quote-unquote do the right thing. But on the other hand, he has a lot of members who are putting pressure on him not to do these things because they fear backlash from their base. And so, like I said, I'm hopeful that there would be a change of heart on some of these issues, but I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I guess we'll all stay tuned. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, Democrat from Schaumburg, the 8th Congressional District, as always, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Rick.